Welcome back to Fire Interview, the Storyteller Podcast. I'm your host, Captain Brendan Trainer. On this episode, we talked to Lauren from Thirst Responders. Lauren and Thirst Responders is a hilarious meme page on Instagram. She is the meme lord of all nursing pages. We have great conversation with her, lots of laughs, tell lots of jokes. We also talk about some court cases, as well as taking questions from the audience. Really fun episode. As always, Fire Interview, the Storyteller Podcast is brought to you by the book Fire Interview, the Storyteller Method, available on Amazon. It's also available at fire-interview.com, along with all of our other podcast merchandise. We're also brought to you by publicsafetyanswers.com. Public Safety Answers is bringing recruit firefighter testing to the 21st century nationwide with online recruit testing, behavioral and cognitive testing, one-way video interviews, all of the things that you need to bring your recruit firefighter testing to the 21st century. All of the departments that are currently testing have applications at fire-interview.com. We're also brought to you by X Endurance. X Endurance Supplements is a supplement company that does third-party testing to bring you the highest quality supplements. Whether you need creatine or protein powder, or you're looking for a great daily vitamin, I use X Endurance Supplements. You can use code FIREINTERVIEW at checkout to get a discount on your supplements. Without further ado, here is Thirst Responders. Lauren, thanks for coming.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we've been trying to do this for a while now. We were going to try to have you in the studio with us, but then you switched jobs and you're traveling now, is my understanding.
Oh, I'm still staff, but I'm leaving to travel this summer. They don't know that yet.
It's all over your page.
Yeah.
So tell us, for people who don't know who you are, Tell us a little bit about where you grew up, what do you do for work now, and what is Thirst Responders?
Okay, so I'm a nurse, grew up in Connecticut. I guess everything started when I was little. I had a cousin, Brittany, who drowned in the ocean when I was younger, and that inspired me to become a lifeguard and a swim instructor, and that eventually led to EMT. And then the question from there was, do I go EMT or paramedic? Do I go paramedic or nursing school? And I went and like toured at both and interviewed at both. And I mean, I could say I regret it now, but I wanted more time with the patients. So I went with nursing. And it just seemed like there were more options. Like you could work in a clinic or you could work in an inpatient setting. You could do like home health. There was just a lot more flexibility with it. So I did that. I graduated in the end of 2012, which is crazy to think that it's been 10 years now. Became a school nurse. And then I went into a clinic. And then I went peds inpatient for 5 years. And I've been in Dallas now since 2016, but for the last year, I've been at a level one trauma center for adults on a trauma floor. So kind of all over the place, but.
Did you work on the ambulances in EMT or where'd you work?
Yeah, I worked on an ambulance for 4 years in Connecticut.
On a private ambulance?
Yes. Sorry. Many lessons that were learned.
Sorry about that.
Okay. We've been nurses about, so I graduated in 2011.
Okay.
So we've been nurses same time.
Same amount of time.
Hi, everyone, by the way.
Welcome. My beautiful wife has also joined us on the podcast. I think for the second time, you were here for Gina's.
For Gina's, that's right.
Episode 2, I think that was.
And Gina is your sister?
No.
No, she's one of our really good friends. She's Oops, I Broke My Neck. She's dove into a swimming pool when she was 18 and has a C2, C3.
Oh, wow.
Fracture. And she's incredible. She was going to be a chef and change. And then she graduated with her
Juris Doctorate.
And she's an artist, even though she has very limited use of her hands. So.
That's so cool.
Shout out to Oops, I Broke My Neck, Gina.
You would like her art. We'll send some of it to you.
Yeah, she does erotic food art.
Oh.
Yeah.
I will have to check it out.
lots of tacos and hot dogs. And
so if you haven't,
you said erotic, and I was like, oh, I totally forgot to explain what thirst responders is.
yeah, we're gonna get there.
We'll get there.
So if you haven't listened to Gina's podcast episode 2, to thirst responders. So yes. You had a very popular page called Thirst Responders. What made you want to start that? What is it?
So it's an Instagram meme page, and it's kind of branched out into a little bit of merch, a little bit of TikTok stuff. I'm still learning. I'm just trying to keep up with like all of Gen Z and their demands. But love you guys. So it was December 2019. It was like right before COVID hit. And I followed a bunch of the meme pages, and I'd screenshot their memes and like crop them and put my own captions on them. My coworkers were like, dude, like you, instead of like submitting these to the other meme pages, like you should make your own page. And I was like, oh, I don't know. Like, I think it would probably flop. So I eventually one night just was, I think it was like actually might've even been New Year's Eve that year, was like looking around, and I was like, there's really not any like female representation in the meme community. There's like one or two female nursing pages that got semi-big, but the big pages are all male nurses. And like, it was almost ironic because the female population in nursing is a majority of like the population of nursing. And I was like, there's not really anyone to represent that. And then when I started to branch off into like the EMS and like fire side of it, I was like, there's even less representation on the female side. And like, I have three brothers, and they were like, well, it's because women aren't funny. And I was like, okay, well, that makes me want to do this even more. But it's myself. And then I have an admin that helps, but she wants to remain completely anonymous, but she is a firefighter paramedic up in Connecticut. So she helps to keep me relevant because I've been out of EMS since 2013. So she really helps to keep me relevant on some of the stuff that's happening. And she feels more comfortable taking the seat of like helping people find like mental health resources and stuff. So, but yeah, sorry. I know that was a bit of a ramble.
You guys did a reveal though. Is this the same one who was way, way, way back in the beginning?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So she's like, she's had her face on there, but she just doesn't want to have like her department or her name on there. Yeah.
Yeah. Depending on the content that you post, it can be a little risky to let everybody know exactly where you work and all that kind of stuff.
I know my manager the other day was like, oh, you keep popping up on my TikTok explore page. And I was instantly like, blocked. But then my coworkers found his page, and he's like, oh, what a great day for a pool day. I'm about 8 Dos Equis deep. And I'm like, okay, maybe he's cooler than I thought he was.
Oh, you never know though.
So how did you come up with the name Thirst Responders?
So I couldn't, that was honestly the biggest delay in deciding to start a page, is I wanted to have like a witty handle. And I had known Worst Responders for like a minute before I started the page. I had actually commented on a post of theirs several months earlier. I think it was like a meat gang sticker or something. And it was a post about like someone that pooped in the ambulance or something. And I commented like, if this gets 50 likes, will you make a hashtag poop gang sticker? And that took off. And then we became friends on Instagram. And so when I was thinking of like what to name the page, I was like, well, it is primarily nursing, but we do have like first responder elements to it. And I was trying to find things that rhymed with worst. And then I was just going through the alphabet, and then I was like, thirst. Oh, and then it like, it kind of works too, because you can like clap back at the thirsty people. And I'm like, I'm just responding to the thirsty people, like putting them in their place.
Yeah. Shout out to Worst Responders. They helped us a lot when we started our page, which is a very young page.
They're good, but, guys.
They post a lot of aggressive memes, we'll call them too. like don't want people to know where you work type of memes. Mm-hmm. But they really helped us a lot with getting our name out there and helping us decide what to post and how to grow our page. So mm-hmm. Even though a lot of people may get rubbed the wrong way by them, they're super good dudes that helped us out a lot.
They've given me a lot of really good advice.
they're your social media ex-husband now, worst responders and thirst responders.
I know they always comment on stuff about like if they're trying to sell something, they'll tag me and they'll be like, for the kids. I'm like, yeah, we need to pay for summer day camp.
Yeah, you getting an alimony check from worst responders?
Where's that coming in? I'm still waiting.
So your page, what did it end up growing to? Over 100,000 followers?
It was like 70,000.
Okay.
In about a year and a half.
Yeah, let's talk about you getting canceled. Let's talk about cancel culture.
Yeah, I don't even know. So like if Instagram is listening, if you could tell me, that would be great. So I've been appealing once a week, but it was just... I kept getting the like violating community guidelines warnings, and it was usually for images that were copyrighted. But then it was just, I randomly had logged in one night and it kept kicking me out. And I thought like, oh, maybe it got hacked. So I went into my email and there was no notification in my email. And that's when Instagram told me like I had violated community guidelines.
So they didn't tell you specifically what post or what you could do to fix it. They just hacked your 70,000 follower account. Got hacked.
Yep. And then when you go to log in, it says like you can learn more about why it was deleted. So then from there, you can file an appeal. So Squatter Bust is another page that posts some like don't want to reveal where I work from memes.
Yeah.
And he's given me the advice of filling that form out with the same message once or twice a week and just saying like, hey, I don't know what I did, but if you give me my page back, like I will adhere to whatever you need me to. I'm here and I'm willing to learn. So I guess he did that twice a week and got his back after a few months, but
I haven't. It's so crazy. Some of the shit that people post, that's absolutely.
Yeah. Like I see you nurses only. I love him, but he posts some violent stuff.
Yeah. And then they're totally fine. And then just a funny meme page that you can be controversial and still funny and not violate guidelines. You're not promoting prostitution. No. You're not telling people to hurt people. It's so weird.
Well, I have this bathing suit where it's like a one piece bathing suit, but it makes you look like you have like a man chest and stomach.
Yes, it's my favorite.
And Instagram tried to shut me down once for that. And I'm like, I'm not naked. Like it's literally a bathing suit. So I don't know if it's like stuff like that, that they think that I was like trying to run like an OnlyFans through my account.
I think a lot of that stuff is that they don't have enough personnel, like a real human to look at it.
Yes.
So if somebody reports it, and enough people report it or whatever, it gets flagged, it just automatically gets shut down or reported. And then it takes them forever to catch up because there's, I don't know how many, you know, hundreds of millions of Instagrams, which is not a good excuse for them, but they're not really looking at your posts.
Yeah, I agree.
So they don't really know. They just know that some Karen reported it and that's pretty much it.
If I look at the difference between my page and some of the nursing pages, I was trying to like start a revolution against the Joint Commission. So I don't know if maybe they like got my page shut down. So I was like, maybe I need to calm down on like the anti-governing bodies movement I was trying to start.
Like that meme about from the movie Ant. So they realize
the grasshopper.
That there's more of us than them.
Because I even had like a highlight that I had put on my story about all the messages like people had said to the Joint Commission. So that very well could have been part of it.
But Nurse Blake even started all that too. So I don't think that was.
No, I don't think that's it. I know I've told you this before, but you of all the I follow everybody, Squatter Bus, First Responders, all them. And I think you have my favorite firefighter meme of all time, even though I follow all of the fire departments and all of the fire department meme pages. Of course, it comes from a nurse meme page. Do you want to tell them about my favorite meme of all time?
So it is a clip from the Maury show of him reading paternity results, but he's reading paternity results to Hulk Hogan, who refers to everyone as brother, and informing him that not every firefighter is your brother.
I know. I laugh for so long about that. I literally just called a guy at the gym this morning who I don't know, who I just met. It's like, oh yeah, I work for Rural Metro Fire. And I was literally like, all right, well, have a good day, brother. And I was laughing because it's just like an automatic thing that you just start calling him brother because they're
brother too?
No, but it was, oh, it cut me so deep and was so funny at the same time.
We like your page because obviously our dynamic is, it just works so well with your page having both the first responder jabs and then the nursing side of it. It's just, we're always cracking up.
I wish that I could share more of your posts, but because of our company, we have to like keep it.
Oh yeah.
Keep it. I know we should have
slightly more mild.
Up in the beginning, but
I know there was, there's a ER doctor that my friends from Dallas are friends with. And he was at like one of our friends' 30th birthday parties a few weeks ago. And he was like, oh my God, I love your page. And I was like, oh, I had like no idea that people in the like ED were like the doctors in the ED were following me. And he was like, no, he was like, I love your posts about like the nurse and firefighter dynamic, because he's like, I literally watch it occur on a daily basis. And I was like, yeah, I dated a Dallas firefighter and it didn't end too well. And he was like, I know based on your posts. And I was like, it's good meme material though. So
you're not too shy about it. I love that you just poke fun of like your past relationships and yourself. It's very genuine and very authentic. And I think that's why people are drawn to you, because of the authenticity of your page too.
Thanks. I think it's important. I think one of the ways that some other pages can lose people is when they try to pretend. I don't want to say pretend, but they feel like with social media, they have to present themselves as this like ultra professional person that never makes mistakes and has always done everything like right and by the book. And I'm like, okay, but in reality, like you being, I guess, more realistic and honest with yourself and with your followers, I guess, gets you to have, I don't know how to phrase this. I was like, now this feels like an interview. I guess it's like gets you to like when you're pushing for something like for change, it gets more of, I think, a stronger reaction, because then it just doesn't seem like, oh, this is the next thing that this like social justice warrior is pushing for. It's like, okay, this is a person who's been real with me about their life and like their professional realm and everything, and I trust like what they're backing.
Yeah, you were one of the first ones to speak on the opposite side of the whole Redonda situation.
Oh, yeah.
I think you were one of the first ones though to actually read the full, like all of the details, because at first, you know, the clickbait headlines, it seemed absolutely ridiculous. And then as you were talking to me about it and I was looking more into the details, I think now most people know that it was way worse than we initially thought, but you were one of the first ones to really, I think you got a lot of backlash for that.
Yes. Too. And I took 2 days and I really read through like the court documents and everything, but
I appreciated that because I wasn't, no one was seeing all of the true details, you know?
Yeah. And I think as nurses, like it is important that we have each other's backs, but I also think it's important that we call each other out when we've been wrong. Because if you just blindly back people when they've done harm to someone, especially harm that's ended in the death of someone, like a horrific death, that it just makes it seem like, oh, well, if you're saying that everyone is this way, can I even trust like the hospital when I go there?
Well, it makes us look stupid.
Yeah. That's one thing that I wanted to spend a good chunk of our time on, even though for whatever social media growth purposes that wave has probably passed now, but we're going to do it anyway, because we don't really care.
Yeah.
There's
a couple cases that people are talking about right now too.
I just read another one, man. I wish I would have saved it. I can't remember where it was at, but there's another one now that's already happening.
Yeah.
So I wanted to go over the basics of what happened in this case and kind of get all three of our opinions, because I know the firefighter or paramedic pages wasted no time either going after this. So I thought we could get it kind of opinions from both sides. So what's the lady's name that got charged?
Redonda Vaughn.
Redonda Vaughn.
Like that. It doesn't really matter, but so I'll give like a quick recap and then you can tell me if I'm missing any major stuff in this case. Okay. I didn't research it nearly as much as you, but here's my basic understanding. So she's a nurse at a hospital. She works on a floor. That particular day, she's like a float where she can get moved to different floors. She's also training somebody that day. She's not on the floor she's normally on, gets moved down to help. So they're kind of building this story of excuses, which I'm reading it just to back up. My wife's a nurse. I'm a paramedic. I'm reading it really trying to defend her. Okay. So every part that comes up, I'm really trying to say, okay, I could see it. Okay. I could see it. So I'm going to go through this kind of timeline, but so she gets, they send her down to a different floor to give a medication to a patient. She's training someone, blah, 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 all these excuses, right? So this patient needs to go to get a scan or whatever. And the doctor orders Versed, midazolam, to calm this patient down for the scan. So we're laughing because her dog.
I know. He doesn't want anything to do with me. And then as soon as I'm talking to people, he's like, oh, let me get in your personal space.
Yeah, normally our dogs start barking in the middle of the podcast. But anyways, so she goes to pull up this medication and she goes to a Pyxis or whatever medication machine she's using to pull medications from. And not everybody listening to this is a medical professional, but you go to a safe, if you will, that you type a password into and it distributes medication to you like a really expensive vending machine. So she goes to type in Versed. She types V-E. It's actually called midazolam, but another name for it is Versed. And we'll bore you with all the details of that, but there's multiple names for medications. So she types in VE, and it says that there's no medication for this patient under that. Now, another kind of excuse, I'm still on her team at this point, right? And so they say, well, we've been having trouble with the pharmacy and the new program, and maybe it didn't come through. So she overrides it. I'm still on her team even at this point. I'm like, okay, I can still see it. She pulls up a medication. Is it Becaronium? That's a paralytic. So as what I use on my truck is succinylcholine, which is a different kind of paralytic. And there's rocuronium and a bunch of different ones. But for those of you not in the medical field, the medication she's trying to pull up, Versed or midazolam, is a benzodiazepine. And it calms the patient down. And it's also what we use for things like seizures. And unless you give somebody a ton of it, it's not really super dangerous, right? But something like succinylcholine or Becaronium or rocuronium, these paralytics are going to paralyze the patient, everything in their body except for their heart, including their respiratory system. So they won't be able to move or speak or breathe. And that's what we use before we put someone in surgery or for me as a paramedic, before I do a rapid sequence induction or intubation, I'll use succinylcholine to get rid of their gag reflex, so on and so forth. So she pulls up this paralytic on accident. Okay. I'm still on her team. They don't have the scan bracelet to confirm it that way. I'm still on her team, right? I'm still writing
you
this
can
off.
Still, yeah, not, you can still under, you could still maybe understand sure. what's happening.
Yep. I'm still stretching to be on her team, right? It has a red cap, whatever. I'm still on her team. It says paralytic on it. I'm still on her team, right? I'm still going, okay, I've been stressed. I've been on a call in the middle of the night, blah, blah, blah. I'm still really trying to be on her team. Here's where I personally lose it is this.
Let me add more vodka because this is where I started to lose it too.
Yeah, right? Get some more vodka.
Cheers to
this particular paralytic that she's drawn up comes in a powdered form. It has to be what we call reconstituted, which means that she has to add fluid to it to make it into an injectable medication.
So she has to stop and now go there.
Yes. So Versed, midazolam, does not come like that. It comes in a liquid. Now, granted, I could make excuses for that too, right? If I'm the lawyer, I could say, hey, sometimes there are shortages. We get medications in different packages. We get them in different concentrations, blah, blah, blah. But for you as a healthcare provider now, that you're going to reconstitute a medication, and at no point in this process of reconstitution do you now notice that it says paralytic, that it's not the right medication, that you never in your career have had to reconstitute for said. Now she has lost me. That's where I switch over from a mistake to gross negligence. And then I want to talk about the definition of negligent homicide. But before I keep rambling, I want to get your opinion. What did I miss from that story? What is your differing opinion on that?
Well, none even worse is in the hospital when we give, you don't give Versed without monitoring. That is still a,
that was my big thing is even if you go all the way through with an error.
Yeah. And that's where it's, and she even had a student, she could have been like, hey, sit here and watch the patient for 2 seconds. Do we know why she ran, why she left the patient?
I don't know. From my understanding, she went down, the patient was going into a PET scan.
Right.
And I'm guessing the patient was anxious. She was told that there was no one immediately available. And that day she was floated to a unit that was lower acuity than hers, but she was a resource nurse.
But which, these are like a SWAT or something.
Right? Yeah. So like a resource nurse is someone that like when nurses are too busy to go do something, you can ask the resource nurse to go do that for you. Like if I'm stuck in a room and I'm like, I'm going to be in here for 45 minutes. This other patient needs this medicine. Can you go do it for me? The resource nurse will go do it for you. So for me, I think the biggest backlash I got was from nurses that weren't in, didn't have critical care experience. Because when you're on a med surge floor, I think that this incident happened on a progressive care unit and she's originally from ICU, but on a med surge floor, I get it. They've got like 8, sometimes 10 patients. You're literally like slinging meds at people all day. You don't have time to look stuff up. You barely have time to assess and record everything. Like, so from that perspective, I was like, okay, I get it. Like you can be really rushed with meds. If the Pyxis is not working right, you can have to override it.
Well, we don't usually give Versed on meds. I worked telemetry, med surge telemetry for the majority of my nursing career before I went over to peri-op PACU. So yeah, we didn't give Versed on if your patient needed Versed, they needed to go elsewhere because I don't have time to monitor that when I have that.
And it said she was on a neuro ICU floor normally, which is, I think is what bothered me even more because this patient was a head injury patient.
Right.
And
brain bleed.
Any of our trauma patients that do poorly in scans and start to have like altered mental status and need to be tubed, like 9 times out of 10, it's always our head injury patients. Mm-hmm. So there was just like a bunch of other factors coming into it because she wasn't a new nurse. She graduated in 2014. This happened in 2017. I still liked being a nurse in 2017.
So. Yeah, right. Exactly.
There was 5 warnings that came up on the Pyxis before she even pulled it, warning her that it's a paralytic. So I get if you override 1, even 2 warnings, but like if you have a student or someone you're training with you think at some point you'd be explaining the med that you're pulling.
Exactly.
It's 2017. We have Google in our pockets. So even if you aren't looking it up on the patient's medical record, you can look in your phone if you're not familiar with a med. She had to reconstitute it. She had to look up the directions for it. She had to look at the label that said paralytic.
We don't do meds based on, or at least none of the hospitals or places I've worked, we don't ever use the brand name. I would never look up Versed. It would always be midazolam.
Midazolam, yeah.
Hospitals, they don't want to pay for the name brand shit. I would never search for Versed.
And like she said, she wasn't short-staffed, that she wasn't rushed, that it wasn't an emergency. And I'm like, okay, that could have also been stuff that she was like saying to investigators because she did speak to them without a lawyer present. So I was trying to be forgiving of all of these factors that led up to the error getting all the way to the patient. Training someone, if it's one of my friend's patients, I'm taking extra caution because that's like normally my patients, I'm more familiar with their meds and everything that they're getting. If I'm helping out a friend, I'm paying extra like attention to detail. Like, okay, if I'm giving them a sedative downstairs, did they already receive another sedative 15 minutes ago? Am I going to snow them and they're going to end up tubed? Mm-hmm. So I just think there was a lot of negligence from the start, but by the time it got to the patient, I think what bothered me the most, like even past having to reconstitute it, was the fact that she did not even have a monitor on the patient.
Right.
Because even just having a pulse ox monitor on that patient could have saved them. And when I worked in pediatrics, if we gave oral Versed and didn't have them on a monitor within 5 minutes, people were getting fired for that. Mm-hmm. So that just shows you that even if she did pull the correct medication, she was still negligent in administration. So even if she did give the patient Versed and the patient did die, she was still negligent because she didn't provide any monitoring for that patient and she didn't hand them off to someone of equal or higher care. So I think for me, that's where I lost her was when she didn't even make sure that the patient was going to be in safe hands.
That could have saved the patient. She could have made all those mistakes and still the patient would have been fine if someone would have been there to monitor a minute after it happened. They had to have left.
Our anesthesiologists have even said, they're like, we will be intra-op and like you push a med at the wrong rate or you push too much of it or you hang a drip wrong. But you're right there with the patient. And I think that vigilance when you're administering anything, whether it's a sedative or a paralytic, that monitoring them, like either one of those things that's being administered can have adverse effects.
Right.
So I think for me, it was, I get that nursing can be crazy. It can be super task oriented and you have to just fly the entire day. But there are situations when you're doing certain things where you have to force yourself to stop. And if you're not comfortable and you don't have the time, you have to be comfortable saying no.
Do you think that the hospital administration is responsible at all for this death, or do you think that it's just the nurse?
So from my understanding, she went back upstairs and heard the code called overhead. The patient ended up being coded in radiology, was reintubated, and the family withdrew care the next day and the patient died. So on that part of it, it's hard for me to know because I know there's no way hospitals will speak before having their lawyers present. So they probably knew more what to say. And I'm like, I don't know who the doctor was and what time the patient was pronounced. Because if all that doctor knew was that the family was withdrawing care, that doctor could have been under the impression that that patient did die from natural causes if you remove them from life support and they pass. So I don't think the hospital is completely innocent, but I don't think it's one of those situations where the system failed her. I think complacency failed her in this instance.
Me and you initially talked about as I was so concerned. This was before I had zero details. It was just what the meme pages were posting. And I was just so concerned because we are supposed to have a level of trust within our hospitals that they're going to protect us. Now, you should never rely on that. And I know a lot of nurses carry extra insurance now for that. But I've seen doctors who have purposefully done things or purposely not done things that have caused a patient direct harm or even death. And it basically kind of gets like, you know, swept under the rug or they settle out very easily and it's all hush hush and stuff. And I was just concerned because before all the details came out, I was like, oh, great. So now we get to sue nurses, the lowest bottom of the barrel.
Yeah.
As far as, you know, the chain of command there.
And I think you have to think about it.
Then they report up. We literally are the ones.
If you think about it, like if you look at a different infrastructure, like let's say you look at the infrastructure of the military, you've got their special forces guys who have been through the most training that they have invested the most money in that are their top tier performers.
Right.
They are going to protect them at all costs, but nurses are the much lower level, lower paid individuals that if getting rid of them is going to remove legal liability and protect these doctors that they've invested a ton of time and training into, we're going to be the easier ones to cut. And I think it's just being, if this case does anything, I hope it makes people a lot more conscious of the fact that when you sign that contract at a hospital, you're not signing a contract saying that that hospital is going to have your back. You're signing that contract saying that they are providing you a building that you can work in, and you need to know your limits. You need to know your meds and your resources. If you don't know your meds, because you need to remember that at the end of the day, as much as we want to believe that a hospital would be there for us, that we are going to be the first ones to go.
Ever talk to anyone without a lawyer. Don't ever. I've watched so many crime podcasts. Don't ever talk to anyone
without a lawyer. I mean,
don't be innocent anything. Always ask for a lawyer.
And like, I don't think she's like a malicious person that went out to like kill someone that day.
It was still a mistake. It was a negligence.
It's still a mistake.
Right.
I just also know, like, in PICU, VEC was the first drug that I learned that I had never heard of before. And for me, that's as soon as I heard that she gave someone VEC, I was like, wait, if she's neuro ICU and she's been neuro ICU for 2-3 years now, she should know that medication. And that was where I was trying to explain to my like friends that are on a med surge unit, like any kind of like euonium, like vecuronium, rocuronium. Mm-hmm. Anytime you see that and then you see paralyzing agent, like if you're an ICU nurse, that should instant, like, I don't even know how an ICU nurse like made that mistake. Like a drip hung at a wrong rate or drips like crisscrossed to the wrong, like right, IV site or whatever. Like mm-hmm. I get that because sometimes they've got like 8 different pumps going and you're just trying to figure out what line goes to what direction. But to mix up meds this big that any ICU nurse should be familiar with, I think it upset me because I'm like, I know that nurses are smarter than this. And yeah. Saying that you could be her is saying that like you lack the ability to critically think, which like critically thinking and assessing is literally like what our job is. And we've got the resources out there. Like it wasn't like this happened in like the 80s or 90s when there was no access to technology. So if she wasn't familiar with it, like she had the resources there to look it up, regardless of if like the Pyxis was functioning or her scanner was functioning. So I think for me, it's like, if it was 2 other meds that were very similar that maybe none of us were familiar with, I'd be like, okay, maybe I can get it. But the fact that it was such a well-known and powerful drug that she pulled, that's where I was like, concerned me. And then another defense people were giving was like, oh, maybe she let the student bring it up and let the student draw and let the student administer it. But I'm like, if she was willing to openly speak to investigators without a lawyer present, you think at the moment that she got called into court for this, that her lawyers would have advised her to protect herself by saying that someone else gave it who also had like a medical license if it was someone she was orienting. I don't know.
The first thing you teach is right patient, right dose, right. So, you know, it's like that.
Yeah. And like, I get
if she said that.
People get rushed. Like I've had one experience where I gave more Dilaudid than was ordered because it came in the pre-filled syringe,
mm-hmm.
but I stayed there with the patient and I monitored them. I informed my charge nurse. I owned up to my response. Thankfully the patient was fine. But
super high.
I think it's just
super high. The patient was
super high. They were a little upset that like their dose after that was not the same one the first time.
Can I get that other nurse back? That one that doesn't do the math.
And from that experience, I never made that. Like, it's just made me hyper vigilant. And I think it's just like we, as nurses, we do tend to get pretty overworked. But I think part of the reason that facilities do that is because none of us step up and say that this is too much. I'm risking my license. And like no amount of online petitions or like protests in DC, nothing is going to change unless inside the system itself, we start saying like, I know my limits and this is too much. So I think that's just
document. Yeah. The first real hospital I worked at, I'll leave them out of it, but I had on a med surge. So I wasn't a new grad, but I hadn't worked hospital before. I think I'd only been a nurse for like 1 full year, 2 full years. And this was the first hospital to hire Back when we graduated, there was no such thing as new grad programs. You basically just applied and applied and applied and applied. And eventually one of the hospitals would say, okay, we'll accept one new grad. We have the time to train you, but there was no new grad program. So,
yeah, and we graduated around the same time when there was a nursing surplus. So it was hard to get into a hospital.
So this hospital took me and I said, okay, they had horrific patient ratios. There was only two floors. One was the DOC lock. Well, they had ICU, but one was the Department of Corrections lockdown unit. So everything. And then my floor, which was everything. We were post-op, we were telemetry, we were neuro. They did bariatric patients. It was absolutely crazy. And I was supposed to be a 12-week training and they said, oh, you're great. After 5 weeks, go for it. And I remember getting a really, really bad assignment. And I did. I spoke up to my supervisor and they said, tough shit. This is what we have. Mm-hmm. And that patient, her husband undid her restraint and she ended up injuring herself. And I had documented, I was a little ballsy and I don't think I would have documented it now, but my new grad ass was like, okay, you know, cover yourself. So I documented exactly what happened and I quit shortly after because it was too dangerous of a work environment. But, all of the people higher up than me who I had said, I don't like this assignment, they all got fired. So you can get people, hopefully should listen, and you can stand up for yourself if you don't feel like you're, patient ratio.
So I guess example of, I think this is where, so I've been a nurse for almost 10 years. I've only been on this one particular unit, this trauma unit, about a year. Ratios in Texas have gotten crazy. We're in like a crazy nursing shortage. Our governor blocked local nurses from taking any of the emergency contracts.
That was ridiculous.
All the travel nurses that existed in the state went out of state. So then we had all these crisis positions that we just couldn't get filled. So ratios were pushed like two, sometimes three patients beyond what they should be. Our manager, one morning we came in and we were going to have five trauma patients each. And she, the charge nurse, was taking three patients of her own. We had no patient care techs. And she said, I'm calling Safe Harbor. It's up to you if you want to call it or not. And for nursing, what that means is before you accept your assignment, you say, I feel that my license is in danger if I accept this patient assignment. And you don't have to accept that assignment until that facility does things to make you feel that it's safe. And I filed that day and everyone withdrew once we got, somehow magically, we got three techs and two extra nurses on the floor.
Funny how that happens.
Huh? Yes. But what ended up happening is because of the threat of the filing, it was a weekend, the director of nursing of the entire hospital ended up coming into work. And everyone, as soon as she showed up, withdrew their desire to file, because what ends up happening is it goes to the state and it becomes an investigation of, was this truly unsafe for these staff to be caring for these patients? So the director of nursing comes in, everyone withdraws it. And I'm, at that point, I've dug my heels in. I'm like, I've been in nursing long enough that I know that this wasn't safe. And I don't think that it's still safe. I'm not going to know that I felt safe until it's the end of my shift. So the director of nursing actually got in my face. At that point, I had only, because I was an experienced nurse, I had like a 3-week orientation and then I was on my own. I think I had maybe been there like 3 months. And for whatever reason, she picked me and she was like, on med surge floors, they get 8 patients and they don't complain. I don't know why you're like acting like a princess and thinking that 5 patients is too many for you to care for. So I said to her, I said, are med surge patients in restraints? Are they an unstable subdural hematoma that if they fall, that brain bleed is going to get worse? Do they have fresh trachs? Are they quadriplegics? Are they paraplegics? So I went on this long list of all the patients that we see in trauma that you don't get on a regular floor. And then she stood up in the front to help us with call bells, because we also didn't have a secretary that day. And you could just see her eyes got bigger when she really saw all of the alarms going off and just how busy we truly were. And with that, like, we went several months without them short staffing us. Like, we always got floated nurses and floated techs to be able to meet at least like minimum staff ratio requirements. And I don't know if me digging my heels in and saying I'm not retracting it until the end of the shift and standing up to the director of nursing of the hospital had anything to do with it. But I think relating this to the Redonda case is just knowing your scope of practice and not being afraid to stand up, because that's really the only way that in nursing that we're going to get the respect and the change that we want. We're not going to get it by allowing them to continue pushing all over us at work and then hoping that if we have like a march in DC that they're going to open their eyes and want to change it. Oh, so I just hope it like makes everyone, I hope everyone just ends up like brave enough to like stand up within their work system.
I'm so scared after COVID. COVID was like the perfect opportunity for the hospitals to just fuck every nurse over. They're like, well, sorry, now we have to do. Now that they see, though, that there's nurses that will just put their heads down and do it, and they can pay these new grads absolute crap pay, and they want their hospital experience, so they'll do it. Like, we're never going back to the 4-to-1 nurse patient ratio on med surge, the 1-to-1 on ICU. Like it'll be hard pressed to ever go back to like pre 2019 nursing days.
Yeah. And I think that's what's making it harder for people to want to stay as staff nurses. So for example, in Texas, as a nurse with 9 years of experience, my rent just renewed at $1,800 a month, and I'm making about $900 to $1,000 a week. So my rent is at about half or a little bit more than half my income. And one of our travelers who has 2 years of experience as a nurse, I asked her what she was getting paid, and they're making $3,200 a week. And our trauma attendings, they won't give them fresh trachs. They won't give them quadriplegics. Like, just they get the easier assignments, and they're making like 3 to 4 times our salary. And so I'm like, it's not all about money, but when it comes to risking your license on a daily basis, like, I don't know how much longer these facilities think that they can like stretch their staff thin before people start pushing back. I know there's people that are like, I just can't travel. Like, I've got family here. Like, it's just not an option for me. But I think like those of us that do have the opportunity to stand up and to say like, this is what people deserve, and I'm going to leave if you don't offer me that, that eventually there will be a large enough fraction of us that they don't have any opportunity but to listen to us, because it is money that speaks with them.
Well, yeah, just pay your staff more. We're not asking for the full travel no. Nurses travel.
No. And every nurse I know would take their same pay or less if you could guarantee that they'd be staffed every day.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And I'm like, that's like the real eye opener there is like, if I could go in and know that I wasn't going to be working at like a breakneck pace every single day, I would never even consider leaving. But it's like every day I go in like nervous of like, okay, how am I going to manage this day? Cause like right now I'm training a new grad and she's great, but it's like, we've had some days where there is just so much going on that I'm like, I'm either feeling like we're splitting our assignment in half and I'm not doing a good job training her, or I'm like, what am I getting this girl into?
You going to get down on one of those worst responders contracts?
I've thought about it. I need to renew my passport because they do a lot of international stuff.
Oh, that'd be so cool. We didn't have kids because we could both take travel assignments.
Not me, man. They pay me more than the doctor. I can't complain.
That's true.
He's
retiring me. Very excited
about that. I looked it up. Our local hospital, Mercy. I'd take a pay cut if I got hired there as a hospitalist. It'd be a pay cut for me.
That's craziness.
Don't tell them that we're lowly blue collar.
Just kidding. Support your firefighters. We're super broke.
We're out of money.
That is good though. That I know in Dallas, the guy I was dating in Dallas was a fifth year firefighter, and he was making like $15,000 more a year than I was as a nurse of like 8 years experience at the time. Yeah. So it's crazy. Like, I know in Florida, they said it's the complete opposite where the nurses are making a lot more. So it's just so interesting to me that like every single state varies. Yeah.
It depends on what your capabilities are. So like in Arizona, our firefighter paramedics, we can do everything. We have RSI, we have IO, we have everything. So our cost of living to income ratio is really, really good in Arizona compared to like a New York firefighter, their cost of living is through the roof and they don't do medical at all. So they don't get paid as well. And their cost of living is really high. Or like California, they do paramedic and firefighting, but their cost of living is out of control. So mm-hmm. Arizona is a nice sweet spot where you get paid for all the certifications and it's not that expensive to live here.
Don't tell them that either. We have plenty of people moving.
Don't move here though. It's terrible. Except
I know. I was about to say, that's what my rent increased in the last year and a half. It went up $500 a month because of the influx of people here.
Yeah,
I've been trying to get Lauren to move here.
There's no really tornadoes here.
Well, no, I just
that would be very nice.
Not a real tornado.
It was a baby one.
If we see a funnel cloud in the sky, it's all over the news. It may have knocked over a lawn chair. It's not a real tornado.
People are posting pictures of a lawn chair knocked over, and it said "Tornado of 2021. We will rebuild."
Oh my god, I love that.
We will rebuild. Yeah, Arizona's great.
I have heard good things about Arizona. And I think you're like outside of tornadoes, I think your seasons tend to be a little bit more normal. Do you get haboobs though?
We get haboobs. We get nasty boobs.
It's just a dust storm. It doesn't hurt anything. It's not going to rip
except if you're driving on the freeway, it hurts your visibility. And
it's like a 15-minute dust storm, is what it is. But yeah, we don't have the humidity. No. We can drive 3 hours to a ski resort.
5 hours to the beach.
It does get hot in the summer, but everybody has a pool. We have a pool in our backyard. We just drink margarita and sit in the pool, and all of a sudden the heat's not a problem.
Right.
It's like Las Vegas.
Except without the legal, there's not legal prostitution in Vegas. It's like the county outside of Vegas.
Yeah.
It's like a common misconception about Vegas.
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, should we do some of the the follower submitted questions?
Let's do it. Do you have them ready?
Okay. Yours are so much better than mine. You fire off yours because mine were super lame. I think our followings are much different. Mine were like very professional, boring questions.
Not that you're boring, fire interview people. We love you.
We love you, fire interview, but your questions are lame.
But we're going to go with the first responder question.
Okay, this is a good one. We'll start out like with the more vanilla questions. Kate Wally said, if you weren't a firefighter or nurse, what would you be?
You want me to go first?
She's got a list, you guys. Buckle up. It's going to be a long one.
Yeah.
Should we start with the drummer or?
No, that's not in there.
Oh, okay.
Rockstar would be cool though. So I have the privilege of getting to teach.
Yeah, take it off.
They're only listening on audio.
They can't see it. Lauren's removing articles of clothing. Mainly her sweatshirt,
I was sweating the whole time and I was like, I don't want to. I can't take it anymore.
I get to teach quite a bit, and so like I was teaching a trauma management class to a group of doctors at a winter symposium, and I always start off with this joke that I was going to be a trauma doctor, but they didn't have that at Mason Community College, so I think I would have liked to have been a doctor, but I didn't want to spend 8 or 10 years in school and then have $500,000 in debt. So I didn't do that. And then another option would have been, I would have liked to have been a Navy SEAL, but the Navy couldn't guarantee me that I could go to Navy SEAL training. They're like, there's, 50-50 shot. You could end up just on a ship somewhere with 1,000 other men sweeping the deck. I was like, that sounds terrible. So I didn't do that. And then my third option, like if I could just live separate lives, one would have been a special forces, no family, just been an operator. One would have been like a trauma surgeon, whole life in school, but I think I would have hated that. And then the third option would have been to not worry about making money at all and just been like a bartender who like bartends in England for a year and then Spain for a year and Italy for a year and Greece for a year and just like traveled around and never cared about building any kind of an empire or companies or a family and just traveled and made like just enough money to eat dinner that night. And I thought that would have been cool too, as another life. But ultimately, being a captain with the fire department and having a wife and kids worked out pretty good.
What about you?
I guess I like decorating cakes, but I didn't want to work entire weekends.
Right.
And there wasn't like a ton of job security in that, and I didn't want to lose my love for it. But I do like the 3D fondant cakes and stuff. I did that through nursing school, and I still do it for like friends and family.
I know. I wish you were closer, because the girls love cakes and they want these ridiculous birthday cakes, and I am so bad. I'm like, oh, I could just have Lauren make it for me.
I was like, was this an invite for a podcast interview, or was this actually just a ploy to get me to move to Arizona?
Is it working?
Yes.
I got 5 bedrooms in my house. I'll cut your rent in half. You can live with us.
As long as I can bring the dog and guinea pigs.
Yes. Oh, bring the girls would love the piggies.
Bring them.
I guess the other thing. So I didn't know about this until I was in pediatric nursing, but child life specialists, I think, are amazing.
So cool.
So I always thought, like, as a peds nurse, you get to explain what the kids are going to do, and you get to make the dolls that look just like them and all this other stuff. But that is actually what child life does. And they get to build this trust with the patients where they aren't doing the procedures to them, but they're explaining the procedures to them. They're giving them like coping mechanisms, and they explain it on like a developmental level. And I just think they are such like an amazing resource. On the adult side, we use them. If we have an adult patient, we have some younger adult patients that are trauma patients that maybe get put on like hospice care, or we're going to be withdrawing measures. Child life meets with them before they go in the room, and they tell them, this is what you're going to see. This is what you're going to hear. This is what you're going to smell. This is like what mom or dad can see or hear. And they do like fingerprint art with them and stuff. So they just really are this amazing transition between what normally is like an extremely scary experience to making it make sense for them. So I always thought that would be cool. And then I love like event planning, like theme parties are like my thing. And so like my apartment here is always known as like the theme party apartment. So when I was at the pool this last weekend, they were like, oh, is there a theme? And I was like, no, there's no theme. I just want to enjoy a day at the pool.
We need to do a joint fire interview thirst responders party.
Yeah,
I would love that. I would definitely be down to do like a meetup party out in Arizona.
Well, so it's too early to announce this, but we might be teaching an interview conference / symposium in Las Vegas coming soon. This
I did text her about that, but so it wasn't.
I've never been to Vegas. It's on my list.
So if we end up doing that, I think that we should plan a big pool party, thirst responders fire interview pool party.
I would love that. And then
post-conference pool party.
Lil Jon is like my favorite music artist, because I think he's the only person that wakes up like as enthusiastic as I do every day. Like, I get out of bed and I'm like, yeah, yeah. But I became friends with him because of my page, because I did a whole like playlist of the music that you play on your way into work. And Lil Jon kept showing up on it. And his mom is a nurse at the VA.
Wow.
And she was one of the first nurses at the VA in Atlanta. And then his brother's a doctor at Emory. So I cracked the joke with him from Step Brothers. I was like, I didn't know you came from a home of learning doctors.
That's one of your favorites.
But Lil Jon comes from a medical family. So I'm like, that would be great to go to Las Vegas and maybe message him and be like, hey, when you play here.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. If that ends up happening, I'm gonna try to blow it up super big. So
yeah,
it'll be awesome.
Is there a month area?
I can't really say anything about it yet, but we're a very large fire department is possibly going to be sponsoring a fire interview seminar in Las Vegas. That's all I'm allowed to say about it right now. Yeah.
Is it this summer? Is it later next year?
We're hoping it's going to be like in the next 2 months.
Okay.
It's going to be very fast. Hopefully, if it happens. If it doesn't happen, it is going to happen at some point for sure. But it might be happening like really soon, like next month.
Oh, okay.
But we'll see. We're waiting on
Well, if that doesn't happen, we'll just schedule another meetup anyways.
Well, we could do it without them, but obviously the sponsorship makes it so that we could pay for the pool party or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Good stuff. All right. What about...
All right. You want to
Rochelle, do a, what about you if you didn't do...
Or you want to say what your careers would be other than what you do right now, which is be super rich and not work at all?
First of all, nursing, I haven't truly loved being a nurse for a while now. It changed so much. And even though I work probably the most ideal nurse situation, I think if I could go back, I was a professional makeup artist before I was a nurse, and that was super fun, and I liked that a lot.
You did a couple Playboy models, mm-hmm. and you did Ice-T's wife,
Coco. Mm-hmm.
Legit makeup artist.
I worked for MAC Cosmetics for a while, and then I did freelancing, and that was super fun. I have a really short work attention span. I do a lot of, like, I was a professional photographer for the last 3 years, and then it's the ADHD. You like pour yourself.
Oh, that's why I change specialties like every 2 years.
You pour yourself fully into something, and then eventually you're like, okay, I never want to do this ever again. So I think I actually live my most ideal life now, and that is taking care of the kids, and just I really enjoy being a homemaker. He makes it really easy too, to be honest, but.
Oh, that's good. I think for nursing, like the kiss of death on nursing in the last 10 years was when they went to hospital reimbursement based on patient satisfaction surveys, because then it went from I'm providing you medical care to I need to make sure that you're going to give this hospital 5 stars when you leave.
Yeah.
And that's when I was like, okay, sometimes I'm like, am I a nurse or am I like working at a hotel?
It's ridiculous. You couldn't tell anyone like the straight truth. You couldn't be hard with people when they needed it. Everything had to be, you know, peaches and rainbows and here's your gelatin and please give us a 5-star rating on Yelp. And it was out of control.
I actually got in trouble for that once when I worked at Community Bridges, which is a drug and alcohol rehab. I'm not allowed to say the name, but it reminds me of Community Bridges at 24th Street in Van Buren in Phoenix. And, sue me, Community Bridges. I don't care. and they're like, yeah. And I told this patient, I said,
that wasn't a fart. It was a chair.
I said, this is not a hotel. And they reported it or whatever.
Picky.
Oh, we have guinea pigs now.
Oh,
what's this one's name?
Fergus. And I named him that before I even had watched Outlander. And everyone's like, oh, did you name him after Outlander? And I was like, no.
Oh, so I think the girls would love. They're a moderate level pet, right?
No, don't. We're not getting more animals. No.
But if I took a contract in Arizona, could they hang out for 3 months?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Yes. If you come with them, they can come. But we're not buying any guinea pigs.
And guess what?
You can just babysit them.
I have a cilantro plant that is out of control. And
oh, yeah, they love that.
In the compost.
Oh, he's tired right now.
Look at all those little hairs.
What else do we have on the Instagram questions?
Let's see, what questions do we have?
Okay. Should we delve into some of the more PG-13 ones?
Yeah, here you pick. Let's see.
We don't know. We're not.
Fuck, marry, kill, fire, EMS, and police.
Oh boy.
Oh man. Well, you have to. Oh man, that's a tough one.
Hmm.
I mean.
Are we allowed?
Who would you eliminate? I always go with who I would eliminate.
The cops first and foremost.
The NWA would say. I know, but I was kind of thinking about marrying them because you get the pension. You don't have to stay with them.
I already got me a pension.
Not you in particular.
I like my fire plate, though. I get off. Okay. This is not going well. It's not going well. Sorry, Dad. Don't listen to this one. Oh, yeah. No, I'd get rid of the cops. I'd marry the firefighters. And I guess I'd have to smash some private ambo guy. Well, when we started dating, you were ambo guys. So.
That's true.
Yeah, I'm going to go with that. What about you?
What do you think?
Wouldn't marry the cop.
We love you, cop friends.
We love cop friends. I don't, it's hard because I'm trying to erase the past.
Yeah,
it's bad experience with a firefighter.
They're not all bad. Lauren, Arizona firefighters are not like Texas.
There we go. That is just a lie to get me to move there. The next one will be like, and this is what the responders think about life in Arizona.
In studio.
I mean, every guy I've met that is in EMS is like a genuinely nice guy.
That's true. You're actually, that's actually very true.
Maybe marry the EMS guy.
I don't know, but as much as I hate the fire department, they are hot.
That's true. If you can guarantee they won't cheat,
then I'd marry fire.
Okay.
But that's a pretty hefty thing to ask.
You're not committing. It's just a podcast.
It's just a podcast. And then I would make EMS and police do rock, paper, scissors, best of three. For the other topics.
Oh boy.
Oh, here's a good one. Tell us your funniest work-related story. I already know mine.
Oh, man. Okay, give me 2 seconds.
Funniest work-related story?
Yeah. Do you want me to tell mine?
Go ahead.
Okay, so I was a school nurse at the time. This boy comes in. I think he's like 7 or 8, and he's got 3 older sisters. So he's just used to his sisters that are in like middle and high school, like complaining about their female problems. So he's got a stomach ache, and like he doesn't have any rebound tenderness. He doesn't have a fever. He denies constipation. And I used to do this thing for stomach aches and headaches, and it was like my 10-10-10 rule. And it was like 10 sips of water, 10 deep breaths, 10 minutes rest, see if it gets better. And it didn't get better. And so he looks at me, and he was like, "Miss, I think I know what it is." And I was like, "What?" And he goes, "I think I'm getting my pyramid." And I was like, "Okay." It's not called your pyramid. And if you get that, we have a lot more than a stomach ache to worry about.
Oh, pyramid, how cute.
So this is not the funniest thing that's ever happened to me, but it is a funny story. When I was brand new, I started 16 years ago on the ambulance. And, you know, I was only an EMT. I didn't really know very much. And then, of course, the firefighters are messing with me. And so we have a code, and I'm just like a mess after the code. And I'm trying to restock the ambulance and clean up all the blood and all this stuff. And so the firefighters at that time, we restocked them, their med equipment off of our ambulance. So they would come in and just rattle off all the stuff that they need. So this firefighter is like, "Oh, I need 3 18 gauge needles, a star kit, a select 3, some tubing. I need an IO needle. I need a C collar, another backboard. I need an 80 fallopian tube and a laryngoscope." And so it like sails right over my head, and I'm like getting him everything. And I'm like, "We don't have any 80 fallopian tubes." And he's like, "You for sure have it, dude. That's what we gave, you know," like, obviously, aww, for those of you not in the medical field, he's asking for an endotracheal tube, but he's messing with me and calling it a fallopian tube, which I'm just like, aww, nervous. I'm trying to become a fireman. I'm nervous. I'm there trying to find it. I'm like, "We don't have fallopian ones. We only have endotracheal ones."
That's like when they send the girls into AutoZone to ask for blinker fluid.
Right. Yes. Yes. Oh, so man. I always try to be really nice to my ambo guys because I remember what it was like to be new.
I'll tell one from actually being a patient side because it's funnier than any of my other stories that I can think of at the moment. So I am giving birth to our first child. We only have 2. So I'm giving birth to Haley, and I had made the mistake of having Mexican food right before going into labor.
Oh my God. One of my coworkers had a Domino's meat lover's pizza.
Oh, you guys eat really, really clean the couple weeks before you give birth. But no, so up until this point, Brendan, we've been together. We started dating right. We met each other in high school. We started dating right after high school. We've been together for a long time.
Oh,
he has never heard me fart. It's just like a thing. It became like a thing. So then it just stayed a thing. He's like, did you fart?
Yeah, that's something I'm self-conscious about too.
And it just kind of, especially when you have IBS, it's like, you know, it's just not fun. So I had Mexican food. I am pushing like nobody's business. And I fart so loud and Brendan starts laughing. And the nurses... And I'm laughing because I know what's happening and I didn't have an epidural. So I'm like in pain, not caring, but also laughing. The nurses are mad at him. So they think he's like making fun of me, but through like my contractions, I'm like, no, that's the first time he's heard me fart in like 13 years. It's okay. Oh, I still haven't farted since, but,
Good one.
Don't eat Mexican food before you go into labor.
I had an ex-boyfriend and I had never farted in front of him. And we were together for like a little over 2 years. And like, we were fooling around after Mexican food, which I think is like maybe the moral of the story here.
Yeah. Guys, stay away
from Mexican. We were like in my bed and like one slipped out and I didn't know what to do. So I log roll off the side of the bed and he's like, looks over and he's like, are you okay? And I didn't know what to say. So I said, your turn. And I ran out of the room.
It's so when we get embarrassed and we don't know what to do. And he was like
laughing too hard to come console me.
Your turn. Goodbye.
And I haven't farted since.
Yeah. Why do we have headaches? Because we won't fart.
Yeah. Oh, here's a simple one. Is a hot dog a sandwich?
I was just looking at that one and it's been bothering me. Is a hot dog a sandwich?
I'm gonna say no.
And I love this. Some of the people, their usernames crack me up. This one, his name is Corey and his Instagram name is Double Stuff Corios.
No, but also
I say no. I feel like a hot dog is its own category.
What would be if it's not a sandwich though? What would a hot dog be?
It's a hot dog, it's its own category.
A sausage, but
it's like what saying what category is pizza?
Yeah, a hamburger is also not a sandwich though.
So I worked at a hot dog place in Hawaii. Is a sandwich. I worked at a hot dog place in Hawaii called Puka Dog, and it was not considered a sandwich.
You remember hot dog on a stick, you guys? And they had to wear the hats and they mixed. Did you guys have hot dog on a stick out there? Oh my gosh. Okay. If you're listening to this, just Google hot dog on a stick. And they wore hats with little spinner things. It's like a mall. It's like something that you find in like a mall cafeteria or whatever. And they had to mix the batter and they jumped up and down like on a pogo stick thing. Do you remember hot dog on a stick?
No.
Oh my gosh. Okay. I'm going to Google it so you can see. It was so sad.
Somebody wants to know if we can review their Tinder or Bumble.
Absolutely.
We'd be happy to review it.
I could start that as like a side business. I would love to start like a dating app for like first responders and healthcare because we always end up finding each other anyways. But my idea was kind of already taken by this other app that's taken off. It's only in New York and London right now. I forget what it's called.
So that's hot dog on a stick and he's mixing the batter. So you just... This is a real place, guys. This is a real job. And they serve corn dogs and hot dogs.
Why is the bucket so deep?
That's what she asked. I don't know. Oh, those are the little hats.
But there's this, I think it's called like Thursday something, but they basically announce a bar once a week that the app has like reserved and it's only single people go to the bar. So you like meet more naturally.
You meet more naturally. Is that what we can
do? Yeah. I'm like, but that basically is like what the meetups have been. Cause it ends up being like 20. Sometimes I think the most we got was like 30 people and people always end up hooking up.
We have, do you have Benson Adventures in Texas? We have that in Arizona.
Not that I know of.
It's called Events and Adventures and it's, a thing for singles, but it's not an app. It's like they'll schedule like go-kart racing or volleyball or whatever.
Oh, that's fun.
Reach out to us for sponsorship.
Just like make friends and stuff.
Yeah, you just go meet, and everyone who's there just happens to be single, but they just plan events, and they have like expensive ones too, like where you like fly to London and stuff, but they have everything from local stuff to international stuff. And it's just a bunch of single people who get together to go-kart race or whatever.
That's fun. I've always wanted to go to Tomorrowland. It's like this EDM festival in Belgium.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we want to go.
Oh yeah.
What? Really?
Let's go.
I have a friend who is first on the list for tickets for 2023. I would freaking love to get a group. Cause I'm like, I want to get a group of like adult people that are like, listen, we're going to pay the money for the air conditioned cabins.
Yeah.
I will glamp, but I'm not going to camp. but he said like they have their own gym, they have their own grocery store, they have their own restaurant, and like just the experiences he's had there, like it's been on my list to go there for like all of eternity. So we will plan on that for 2023. International people listening,
let's do it.
We're going to meet in Boom, Belgium in summer of 2023. Okay, here's one that I would love you to answer to see what your opinion is on this. Why do y'all love it when medics get blood glucoses on 99.99% of your patients? Do you know the rationale?
Me?
Yes.
Well, first of all, if we don't, the only thing that like it can be the most
it could be the nurse's fault. It's always the nurse's fault. Yeah.
It could be the most gruesome trauma.
Straight to ever. Jail.
Yeah. It's like the most gruesome trauma ever. It's like internal decapitation. We've done all these things to keep them alive.
Got no arm.
We give this amazing report of what happened and all the things we did to keep them alive. And the nurse is like, what's their blood glucose level? And I'm like, you think that this is diabetic related?
It could be. You never know.
So a couple things. One, our chart makes us get a blood glucose on everybody. So we have to do it. And two, I'm not joking. Every nurse, no matter how thorough the report is, and it could have absolutely nothing to do with altered level of consciousness or diabetes, they always will ask if you don't tell them what's their blood glucose level, yeah. Even if it's could not be more unrelated, you know?
Well, because like you, it's on our charting. And we are a slave to our charting.
So it's just one of those things that you do, you know? You got to get blood glucose. Yeah. For the church,
I know for us, for like stroke activation, we have to have two normal ones within like a certain amount of time to say that like, okay, this is a stroke and this is not a diabetic emergency. So yeah. I know with like neuro status changes, they're big on it. With like UTIs, they're big on it. So that's the only reason I'm thinking that it could be related to anything else is them just making sure that like nothing else they're experiencing is possibly related to like altered blood glucose level. My guess also is that might give them a good idea of NPO status before surgery if they had to go into an emergency surgery. Honestly, so for the follower wondering that, I don't have the exact answer, but I'm guessing it's related to stuff that they have to do to them at the hospital.
Yeah.
You'd be surprised what can be affected by just a mildly low blood glucose
most level. Most of the time I don't care what their blood glucose is, but
Globetrotting Aaron wants to know, need answered, please. Do firefighters cheat and police really beat?
I don't know where this got started. It's funny because I was thinking that earlier too, and Shelly mentioned that. Because and that must be different in different parts of the country. And I know
it's an East Coast thing, guys. Come to Instagram and tell us if anyone knows this.
I feel like I'm an East Coast native, and I feel like we all just beat the shit out of each other.
One, I know it's definitely changed over time too, because there used to be this saying that fire stations were for girlfriends. Mm-hmm. And that's a long, old saying. And now, at least where I work, it's not that way. We have our wives and our families over. If you're on shift on Thanksgiving or you're on shift on Christmas, all of the families come for Thanksgiving dinner. Everybody brings their kids over and does Christmas. And we have stockings hanging in the station. So at least at my station and my department, it's a very family-like atmosphere. But I have heard stories that are mostly very old stories, like from the 80s, about how the station's for girlfriends, you know, bring your wife to the station. But I think most of those, at least where I work, are from like 30, 40 years ago. where I work now, we have like stockings hanging in our station, like ready for family day. So
I've yet to
okay, well, that's another selling point for Arizona.
Yeah.
The last guy I dated had like three different women visiting him at the station and none of them ever told me.
Yeah, we don't. I can tell you on my department, we don't tolerate that real well.
Dallas the big D, but it's like small D energy.
It's like the mediocre D. We're throwing some fire departments under the bus.
It's like right that now. Song, everyone is getting dick down in Dallas. In my fire department.
I did have when we first got married and I was finishing my preceptorship for nursing. I don't know who did this poor girl wrong, but it was a very serious, she was not joking. It wasn't like a ha ha or a sarcastic. She goes, "All firemen cheat. Good luck." I was like, "Oh," and that was like the only thing that lady ever said to me. So, okay.
Yeah.
If you're dating a firefighter that says that his divorce is in the process of finalized. So I started the hashtag when COVID was first like popping, thick thighs and immunized. My new hashtag is now don't spread your thighs till it's finalized.
There you go. Yeah, ladies, if he says that his divorce is almost finalized, please call the wife and ask.
Yes, or I can teach you how to search court records because I learned that.
Better. Yeah, we actually I know we're like going different route right now, but we we do talk quite a bit in our lives to couples, and especially new couples in the fire service, because the fire service does kind of take over your life. There's quite an expectation that you are married to the fire department and your wife and your family come second. And so we have done a lot of informal counseling with couples. And so one thing that we do is we go on date night every single week, no matter what, no matter how busy I am with the companies and with the fire department, we get a babysitter, take my wife out to dinner every single week, we go somewhere. And so I think if you're, and everybody can do it, and they always are full of excuses about money or babysitters or whatever. And the truth is no matter who you are, if you need help figuring it out, DM me and I will look at your finances and I will find room for you to take your wife out.
If you're just
going to go for a bike ride at the wash, which we do.
I think any break in your routine to form new experiences and new memories, think is like necessary, because I think when humans are like creatures of habit, but I think when you allow that to take over, like that's when your interests start to kind of like wander. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think firefighters end up being married to the fire department, and that's where they start getting in trouble with their marital problems. Mm-hmm. And I always tell guys, and there's gals too, but mostly I'm talking to the guys, is, you know, someday it's going to be over, and you're not going to be a firefighter forever, right? And what, your wife is the only one that's going to be there when it's over.
She's staring at you.
Yeah. And you can relate that even to like when people have kids. Like, I think it's important to be a good parent, but I think if you get too lost in that identity, that like you forget to be husband and wife.
Yeah. Husband and wife is always first. A happy marriage equals happy parents equals happy kids.
All right.
And
quick question.
Go.
Are you open to me rapid firing if I go live right now?
Yeah.
On Instagram and let them ask questions.
Let's do it.
You want to wrap?
Let's wrap it up.
Let's wrap this up and then we'll join your live. So thank you for joining us. We look forward to you moving to Arizona and living with us.
I will give your piggies everything they've ever wanted. And Sawyer. Ziki would love
I know. I do think soy sauce would like Arizona.
He would.
He lived in the wild in Texas for a year, so he like always wants to be outside.
He wants to sit by the pool and drink margaritas.
Wait, what is your dog's name?
Zeke.
We have three.
Oh, who are your three?
The two big Rottweilers are in their kennels, so they don't.
Dexter and Ellie.
And Zeke is the little guy.
Zeke's the little one.
We would let Dexter and Ellie in here, but they wrestle and play very loud.
All right, bye guys.
Thank you, Lauren.
All right, bye.